Okay, we're continuing Shara B'Tochen, right in the beginning, on page Reish Dalet, right here in my hand. The other advantage which you have, if the person who is a Bateach is relying on Hashem, Shabateach Be'Elokim, anyone who retires on a Kodesh, relies on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to be any of the Chosei Olav, this reliance will bring on him, Shlo Yoivat Zilosai. He's never going to worship anyone else outside of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's never going to rely anyone outside Hashem. Mishlei kavel yish is never going to hope to a person. V'lo yachel bin odam, I'm never going to look for that people should rescue him. V'lo yovdem leisratzes alem, he will never try to worship him in order to he should be accepted to them. V'lo yachniflem, he's never going to flatter to them. Really, the real word of fear, lo yachnif, I really don't know what it's lo yachnif, chnifa, flattering. He will never try to find kindness in their eyes. Lo yaskim imoem, and if he will never agree with mankind, the vilti avoid the selkim, except if it's in servants of Hashem. In other words, the fact everyone does it doesn't mean anything, except he does it doesn't mean anything. Except if it's really helping avoid the system. But if Hideyu in Yonam, nothing of their things will frighten them, because there's no point of being afraid of anyone. But Yiro Mimachlekoisam, he's never going to be afraid of their machlekes, of if they maybe they're going to excommunicate him, they're going to throw him out, they're going to separate him. He's not going to be afraid he's going to be separated from society. Is totally not affected what they're going to say, will it be accepted. Many, many times we do things which you really would have not done. It's definitely not beneficial, not for us, and definitely not for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we can't help it because we want to be accepted by society, we want to be accepted by people. It says, but one who's really relying on Hashem, La'yira is not going to be afraid of Machlekoisam because he's not going to be accepted. He doesn't. Aval yispashet me big day toibosam, he will totally undress himself from the clothes of their goodness. I don't need you. I don't want to be dressed with your goodness. He's going to become totally, in other words, independent. But toirach hadaosam is not going to carry the load of continuous thankingness. He's not going to feel that he has to always to be thankful to them. And always is indebted to them, you know, to reward them what they're giving him, to thank him. He's going to feel totally free, independency. In other words, to be a real free person, not obligated to anyone, not to acknowledge anyone, and he's only the one who is really fully relying on Hashem. He's the only one who could afford to be totally independent and never to flatter, to say false praises, and to be thankful, unless the people deserve it, unless it helps you in avodas Hashem, of course, then you want to do it. But if all those things will not help in any way, you're not going to. Vim yichiyach oisam, and if it comes to the point that he's going to have to warn them or to chastise them, to correct them, la'izay b'chvayda, he's not going to be extra careful with their honor, he's going to say the truth. The only one who could afford to say the absolute truth is the one who's not afraid of anyone. With Boteach Hashem, Yimach Limem, and if he's going to embarrass them, Lo Yavesh Mehem, he's not going to be embarrassed from them. In other words, he's not going to be afraid to embarrass them if embarrassment is needed. Lo Yapeach Lehem Hashaker, he's not going to talk because of them lies. Yapeach is Lushim, blowing. Usually, people who continuously lie, they're really blowing. What do they do? They blow lies, like they make wind just to impression. It's not going to make up impressions just to fake anyone. It's not going to feel required to fake to anyone. Even his expression of his face will be honest and truth, because there's no point of acting. But I feach lem shek, kama shomer anov, like the pasuk said, the Novi said, Yeshaya said, Hashem Elohim Yazri, Hashem my God should help me. And because he shall help me, and I rely on his help, how can therefore Lo nichlomti. I'm never embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed, no matter what. I say the truth. I don't care what they're going to think about me. Al ken deifu, because I'm relying on Hashem, samti ponek hacholomish, I could put my face like a rock, like a stone. I couldn't care what you think about me. Ve'eda in aino kilo evosh. Ve'eda, and I will know kilo evosh that I'm not embarrassed.
Here he touches a velo yafe lehem hashaker. He won't make beautiful for them.
He says le peach
lehem hashaker.
But he, the guest, is your peach.
Mm-hmm.
Like expressing, you know, making faces. But when the Novi says, how can they for some tiponek achlomish, I put my face like a rock, I'm not embarrassed. Pshat is, sometimes a person again has to know if he's really reliant on Hashem or not. So one of the signs that he's really reliant on Hashem is when he knows that he does something for Hashem's sake and he's not indebted to Hashem, he never feels an embarrassment because of this. If he has to say the truth and people laugh at him, people will ridicule him, chastise him, put him down, it's not going to be accepted. If he's genuinely not embarrassed, he couldn't care less what people say, he's a siman, he's relying on Hashem.
Sometimes when I have contact with people that aren't so familiar with Torah, and I say something that's coming from Torah Hashkafa, or something about Hashem, and they have like a completely different view, or different hashkafa, or different base of knowledge of it, and sometimes it throws me off very much, because I respect these people, I think that they're smart people, but they just don't understand what I'm saying at all, or they say something adaraba.
And what does it do to you?
It makes me question.
Let me tell you, if you happen to be a teacher of language, you're teaching people language, you know, you have a group of Japanese people, you're teaching them English, and they will totally not understand you, and they will rebuff you with statements that will throw you off, will question. You don't understand. As much the Chinese people, the Japanese do not understand you in English, even these people understand you even less. Why? Because the Chinese man just technically doesn't understand, but has no inclination not to understand. He has no defensiveness of not to understand. He just technically, physically doesn't understand you. But people are not in Torah, secular people. They have a reason not to understand you. They incline not to understand you. They fight you automatically. So what's the point of... Obviously, one thing is very important. You just can't tell them flat statements, which you don't know where you're coming from. You always have to underline with an explanation, a foundation. You have to start... If we just give him flat sit, the Torah is like that. You, of course, they look at you. You're absurd. You're coming from where you're coming from, and most of the time, you don't even know how to explain yourself. So the best thing is never to throw statements which you can't explain. They can't take it. They make fun of you. They laugh at you, and then you're not accomplishing anything. You have to be able to back up the statements. Keep it to yourself. You have to know those people don't understand what you're talking about. Some people do may vaguely understand, but they're very, very defensive. Very defensive. Yeah. But they're not a person, really, but they're defensive. Omar says, "Mitzivreim altir, don't be afraid of their words," Cheskel says. Don't be afraid of the words. "Mitzivreim from their face altechos, don't shiver, you know, don't, from the expressions, you know, don't try to." Omar says, "Yermia, altira mitzivreim, don't be afraid of them." Omar altechos mitzivreim. Omer says, "Keshomer chozak mitzoyr, nasati mitzchecho." Shomer is a little worm which comes in the sea, which splits the rock. It's very strong. It says, "Keshomer chozak mitzoyr," just like the shomer is stronger than rock. Now, what do you? Is so is mitzchecho, so is your forehead, is stronger than any other power. But siro isam, don't feed them. Don't shiver from them. Now, why does the Cheskel Novi bring this type of emotion? Keshomir chozak mitzoyr. Actually, Tov Alvora, the parish says, it actually means metal,
steel.
A steel metal. What we also know, Shomer is also the little, this is what I wanted to say. This little volume, the Shomer, it's not a natural thing. It's not a natural thing. I mean, all the stones of the Beis Hamikdash have been cut and carved because they're not supposed to keep metal. Okay? And actually, if I may, I may a little bit dispute. Actually, you have to look up the Novi, what the Novi says. But you have to look at the Mufoshim, but I'm putting the Torah. We see there's two types of power in this world. There's the physical power, and there's the spiritual power. And when we see a knife, a strong steel hedge hammer, or something like that, cracks a stone, carves a stone, that's physical power. But you see, it's physical power. And physical power could be tested. You could say this is lesser, this is, you know, there's many levels of strength, and you can't go over and above nature. You can't take a piece of wood and try to crack a stone with a piece of wood and carve a stone with a piece of wood. You need to live in this thing. But then there is in nature, Hashem, the effect of Shomer, which let's call it Shomer, which was the little fish or little worm which came out of the sea once, and it was used to crack stones, to carve stone. However, it's not a physical power. It's a spiritual power. But the spiritual power which is present in physics. It's present in nature. Now, nature does it. It's in nature. You can't say it's not nature because it repeats itself. Anything, as the Maral says, anything which is in existence is repeatable, becomes nature. Because it's not coincidental. Something which repeats itself is becoming nature. The fact, you can't interpret nature. They give all kind of philosophical answers, whatever you try, scientific answer. But the fact is, you take this little thing, you just show it, bring him across the stone exactly, and it cracks him. It's something. The same above natural power is there in your face. A person's face, the strength of a person is what his inner beliefs are. Now, obviously, the Shomer has something, an inner belief. And that inner belief expresses itself now, like how do you call it, like a laser power. A laser power, you don't see anything, but it's a tremendous power. And it makes surgery inside, inwardly, and it has an impact. There's an impact on this object, right? This is a Shomer. So, just like the Shomer is like a laser power, you take this little worm above the stone, it cracks the stone, and it's because it's an inner power inside, which expresses itself in the outside without actually tangibly seeing the power, so is mitzchecho, so is your face, your forehead. As powerful you are inside, as much bitochen you have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that laser power you have in the outside. Now, this means as follows. If you rely on yourself, you're only as powerful as you are. That's the steel. That's the pshat of Shomer. If you take a little steel, if you take a hammer. So you could only wedge and cut a stone as powerful you are. But you could, if the stone cracks you, either you crack the stone. This is if you come with your power. But you have bitochen on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So your strength is Hashem in you. Now, it comes out when you look forward with your metzach, with your face, with your forehead, you look at the person. You want to. The strength of you to impress that person is what the strength is in you. If you don't rely on your line, Hashem, Hashem is your strength. And this is exactly to show me, just like this little worm, this chozat mitzoyer, which is stronger than the rock, and it cracks a rock. So is nesati mitzchecho. I took your face. Therefore, don't be afraid of them. Don't shiver of them. I must give you a personal experience. It's crazy, but I experienced it maybe once and twice in my life. But it was a little miracle, but you could, this exact explanation which I'm explaining to you. No, I used to live here in Nusklare. So it was 25 years ago. They used to have a plague of goyim. Used to come in the middle of the night, like summer, 3, 4 o'clock at night, and throwing rocks into the shattered windows, and all kind of mischief used to do us. And finally wanted to make a stop at the end of it. So we got together, a few, I was young, so 25 years ago. So we got together a few young guys, and they said, we're going to stay up at night. We were hiding in a car, you know, sitting in a car, dark car, waiting for them to come. And when they came, we started chasing, wanted to catch them. So that's once, either it was up or whatever, it was 2, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, whatever, it was the middle of the night. And there was nobody else there to back me up. I was alone there, or whatever it was. And this guy came in, they made a whole tumor. And I got in the car, started chasing them. I chased them out on Route 45. And I was chasing them, going wanted to eat. I'm chasing them, wanted to get the license plate number. Finally, they pulled in to a place, to a little dark street, and I'm after them. And all of a sudden, they stopped. I had to stop, I couldn't bump into them. And four or five big Shkotsim, tall ones, come out. What do you want, you Jew? What do you want, you Jew? And I'm lost here. I'm chasing them, but now they got me, into traffic. I'm alone in 3-4 in the morning. There's nobody backing me. I couldn't back up, I couldn't drink. So I was lost anyhow, but the only thing I said, what I'm doing here, I'm saving the community, I'm trying to, I don't know what came into me. And the clerk, Shomer Chozik Mitzoyen, Isati Mitzchech, I got out of this car, and with so much strength, I saw it pass, and I started yelling at them, you kids, do you know what you're doing in the middle of the night? Why do you want to listen to innocent people? Aren't you embarrassed? And I started getting a whole Mr. Schmies. And they froze like that, and they listened. And they didn't say the word back, and I gave my whole Mr. Schmies. Aren't you embarrassed of yourself? What are you doing with your life in the middle of the night? Why do you want to innocent people? Did anyone bother you? What? And I just spoke to them like that. And all of a sudden, quietly, they sit in the car and they disappear. And I was shivering like this. I could have been going, but they could have made nothing out of me. And I realized what happened. You know, you cut to a point that you got to a trap. That you have nothing, there's no way you could defend yourself. I was totally lost. The only thing you have behind you is Hashem. The only thing you have is Hashem's hand. And if you are in Hashem's hand, there's no limit to your strength. There's absolutely no limit to your hand. You come with the truth, you go for the truth, and you have Hashem anyway, there's not got to lose. There's a mamash, kishomir chozak mitzvah, like this little worm which is stronger than this rock, cracks any rock, nisati mitzchecha, put you forward, your face, you come and express your face. Now, if you come with your strength, who are you? Nothing, you immediately lost. But if you come with Hashem, you have to come with bitochen, come with the lines. There's no stronger than that strong voice which is coming through. The Sulaisirais, we're never afraid of Sulaisirais, they don't have to shiva of them. And unfortunately, we don't live it continuously. Also, we have to live, because sometimes we don't have to fight physically. Sometimes you have to say certain things which, from all sides, they may shoot you and blast you. It's not popular. And you have to say it for the cause of the truth. You have to say it for the cause of the truth. You say, unfortunately, we suffer because of the lack of the truth. Who are you to talk? I'm talking nobody, but Emes talks to himself. Accept the truth no matter who says it. The person who says it could be totally worthless, and he is worthless, but the truth is still that there's nothing stronger than Emes. And if you stick up for the truth, and the Emes is Emes, you stick up for the truth, not for because you want to be somebody, because you talk the truth. Sometimes you're sticking up not for the truth, you're sticking up for yourself, but you're smart enough. How do you build yourself? By advertising the truth. You're not sticking up for the truth. If you give away yourself for the truth, you endanger yourself for the truth. You need this metzach, you need this forehead, you need this chutzpah, but that's full of sin. But you could only have it if you totally betel Hashem. So you couldn't care what's going to happen. What is going to happen? Nothing could happen except what Hashem wants to happen. And so for any strength, for any truth, you need betochen. Without betochen Hashem, you can't get nowhere. Imehen. And the other advantage of betochen is Shabbateh Velekim, the one who lies on Kodesh Baruch Hu, his reliance will bring him. He's going to be able to empty his heart. He's going to be able to cleanse his heart from all worldly things which the world has an impression on you. Every person is being, no question, impressed by worldly things which the world tells you to worry about, be nervous to be. But if you were telling Hashem, you could totally cleanse yourself, empty your heart from it. And you could really dedicate your entire heart. Then Yoni avoided only to avoid the Hashem. Now we say V'yachad levoveinu, we should unite our hearts lahava, to love Yirei Shemecha and to fear. We ask Hashem, V'yachad levoveinu, dedicate my heart to love and fear you. But how can I ask, dedicate my heart if I don't give him my heart? I have to give him my heart. Now the one who's not relying on Hashem, he can't give his heart. If you are totally affected by the lines, you're afraid of your job, you're afraid of people will say, you're afraid of this, afraid of that, you have to put away a day of savings. You always worry, any kind of worry, which you have no right to worry, which is in Hashem's hand, and you do worry, you take away that spot in your heart. So like you come with a vessel, it says, okay, please, fill it up, but how can I fill it? It's full. It's heavy, full with junk, I can't fill it, empty. So first, you have to empty our heart. You have to totally give over our heart to be emptied, and it, Hashem should fill it. So, but you can't afford to empty your heart unless you have full bitachon. So we need bitachon to empty our heart from all the inyan olam hazeh, liyachal levova, in order to dedicate your heart liyon avoyde, for all the inyan avoyde Hashem. The yidoyme, it is going to be compared, v'mnuchas nafsha, with his tranquility in his soul, v'reichav libo, his white heart, umir dagosa, with no worry, linyone oilomoy, in all the things in the world, kubala klimio, this man will be comparable to a person, which the Chavis will use it as a motion, lebal aklimio. I don't know how to say it in English.
Alchemist.
Now what is an alchemist? I don't know. Today I don't know any. Do you know any alchemist? There's no alchemist today. Okay? A chemist. What? Stavros. Alchemist today. You had to make from paper, money from money paper. You're right. It's a good thing. Stavros. They sell you everything. And for make money, nothing for nothing money.
Junk
bond. Things like that. Penny stocks. That's a real alchemist. It's true. But the alchemist literally means a chemist. And it used to be such a, in the old times, in those times of hundreds of years ago, 1,000 years ago, people used to have fantasies. There's many jokes, many stories, goes a legend that goes on kings, that somebody came forward and it says, I'm a chemist and I could make from earth, from this type of particular sand and particular mixtures, I could make gold. Okay, and people were out to get gold and silver, all kind of things, and they could get precious steel, precious metals, they could produce precious metals, valuable metals. You need just a certain secret of chemistry. This is alchemistry, right? So, suppose an alchemist has the secret that you could take anything and everything, and you could make gold out of it, platinum out of it. So wherever he goes, he suppose he could always make a living, because no matter what you touch, you make gold out of it. So, same thing is, the Daimler Menuchas Nafsha, a man who has absolute bitochen, he will be compared, the Menuchas HaNefesh a person has, and you see one thing, somebody has menuchas, three things is there's three characteristics to Baal Boter, the one who relies on Hashem. One, his menuchas nefesh. His menuchas nefesh is tranquility. He's never afraid. Business, what's going to happen in the house, in the home, in no way. He's always takes everything with the menuchas nefesh. He knows everything's in Hashem. Menuchas nefesh produces reichav lev, a big heart, a white heart. No, unfortunately, people who worry, are continuously in worries. They're very narrow heart. They can't focus on it. They're not sensitive. You're preoccupied with nonsense. The more bitochen you have, the more sensitive you become for every little detail. And you pick up every little detail. And that's the beauty of life. You have to know, we only have a certain amount of time to live. A certain amount of space, a certain amount of physics, consumption, we have only parameters. Hashem says, you come to this world for 90 years. In the 90 years, you're going to have so many physical contacts, experiences, so much money you're going to consume. And that's it. Now, how much you're going to produce of this element which Hashem gives you? And everyone gets this element. Everyone has this time, space, and possession. How are you going to convert them into Ruchnius, into Kiddush Hashem, Sanctus Hashem's name? Depends how much you dedicate yourself, how much heart and dedication you give. And in order to give, you need a reichav lev. You have to give your heart. Hashem says, give me your heart. Give me your focus. Give me your attention. Please, be with me. Give me attention. Now, how much of attention can you give? How much is available? How much is available? How much bitochen you have? The more bitochen you have a menuchas nefesh, the more it's available to give up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we continuously, if we look at every simple man today, he takes the worry of making a living and to go on today to make the bus and come home and to cover the bank and appease your wife and your children, everything. And that's, how much is left there to think about Hashem and think about your future and to be Mekan Hashem? There's hardly anything left, 5-10%. So 90% is totally wasting. You live 90% of your life is gone for temporary things and you're not making any homework. So obviously the first thing to prepare ourselves that we should be the most productive in our life is Nuchas HaNefesh, in Rechav Lev. To give a lot of space in your heart for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Miyu Dagosai. And the less you could worry. So forget this, all this strength, treating Nuchas HaNefesh, Rechav Lev, and Miyu Dagosai. The only ingredients to accomplish it is Bitochen, reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing else. Nothing else, only bitachon. I think maybe I would work, I would have possession, I have money, I have a full savings account, then I'm going to have peaceful of mind. No, mar benochosim, mar bedaka. The more you have, more daig you have. And more daig you have, your heart is filled with junk, and you can't dedicate your heart for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me your heart. But okay, I give you my heart, but my heart is all full with junk, and there's nothing that I could do with it. So bitachon is the only thing which cleanses the heart, gives you heart, and you get the roich of lev. And this is the next thing. We have no idea how much the depth of a person's heart is. We have absolutely no idea how much the sensitivity of a Jewish heart is. It is, I would say, no limitation. Absolute no limit. It's bottomless. A sensitivity for Jewish heart, especially a heart which is dedicated to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this is the Shomir Chozik Metzoyah. This is, if the minute you start filling your heart with the Elokus, with Hashem, with the Havas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, the power of Havas Hashem is limitless. It's Nitzchias. You already see, while in your physical limited life, you already experience limitlessness. You already experience eternity. You don't have to die in order to exist. Es Olamecho Tire Bechayecho Es Olamecho. Your world to come, which is Olam HaNetzach, Tira, you could see it b'chayecha while you still live your physical limited life. But it depends how much you give of that thing. But if you only give him 10%, 20%, even 50%, it's still mixed up. You never experience even a drop, even a percentage of eternity. But wherever there's bitachon, you have Hashem, Hashem Yiftach, as we explained it yesterday, you live Hashem, you experience already Hashem right now. Now, who is the Balak Lemir? So this person will be compared to this man, to this alchemist, who knows lehapach hakesel azov. He knows how to make from silver gold. He knows how to make from copper and from steel, silver. Al de chokhma, through chokhma, and it says chokhma master to certain activity, but it says chokhma vaziv. He's counterfeiting. It's really not a master. The alchemist is nothing more than a mezayif. It's really counterfeit. It's not true. But if suppose that would be, he's like that. But I could say more than Kabbatea, but again, the one who relies on Hashem, Yeshla Olav Yisrem Basurat Vorim, has 10 advantages over the make believe possibility of the alchemist who could make from dirt, he could make gold. He has 10 fold, it's very funny. The Chavisov goes and it gives you 10 steps. Obviously, if I may say in Hashem Achat about it, if I make a mistake, because the word of Hashem is every word to be a HaKadosh. But in today's time, go build 10 steps and advantage of a Batel Hashem over an alchemist who could, a stockbroker who could make for nothing millions of dollars. Okay. Or could make $1 million gnashing. This is an alchemist of today, right? I mean, what is the relationship? The whole thing is a fantasy. So he goes and builds 10 steps. And I think that in those days, this used to be the stockbroker of today, when people got rich overnight, and they think that fantasies how to get rich, and they really could make from nothing something. They really made it. And probably in those days, many people were rich because of all kinds of this kind of fantasies. So obviously, used this, the most fortunate person in those days, which is said legendary stories that this became an alchemist to make from nothing. He made gold. So, you have tenfold advantages over that. So that was at that time the highest. As you say today, take the richest person who became rich. You know, he stole tips in the stock market and became rich overnight, became a multi-billionaire, and then he got caught and he got punished. He had to pay $300 million a fine. But everything after that, he made it all his billions of dollars. He made it. You're envying him. So if you tell Hashem, you don't have to envy him. You're going to make more. You're not going to get fined. So start enumerating of this tantric. Chilosan, the first thing wise man, Shabala Kemio, this alchemist, after all, needs some ingredients in order to do his job. So you want to do his loss, we can do it without these tools. Obviously, you can't find him. It's not available all time at all place. However, the one who relies on Kodesh Baruch Hu, his panosa is guaranteed him. His sustenance is guaranteed him. We call Sibim Sibisal from all conditions and all conditions of the world. Wherever he is, he's guaranteed. He's never, you can't see, could only place happen to a specific space, a specific place, a specific situation. The Torah comes to teach you, to let you know, Kilo Aladechem Levadi Yichodam. A person is not living only on bread. Kal Kol Moitza Pi Hashem Yichodam. Anything which Hashem expresses, the person lives on. So whatever it is, the Torah is Moitza Pi Hashem, you can live on. Kal Sivo is Ene Yisoris Meni. No condition is drawn from him. Becholes in all time, Bechol Mokom in any place. All times and all places, you could live on simple bitachon. As you know, the words of Eliyahu at the time when the Orvim, I call the Orvim, and the ravens had fed him. He was in Mishalmon, and the woman, the widow, which was also was fed with this cake, with this. The Avadim, when he was hiding in the Avim, they were fed miraculously. Shomer, the Abu Nevi Hashem, I was hiding. The prophet, the Avim, Meir Isha Chamisha Chamishim, men, hundreds of them, 50-50, in that cave, Vachalkelech, Vachalkelem, and a fed of Lechem Vamoy, bread and water, Vomek Firim Rosh of Rebu, strong, powerful things. They were hungry. They were poor and hungry. But those who rely on Echsekot, they never missed anything. The best thing, the proof of that best thing was, they saw it in the Holocaust. It's unbelievable. I mean, one of the most beautiful stories, the Holocaust story, which should be carefully read, which is one of the biggest things which gives you the beautiful strength of Jewish people, which they experienced in the Holocaust, that under the worst conditions, and people were swollen from hunger, and at the same time, unfortunately, the Germans used to have one of the sports, which was a very brutal sport, which you love to see. They used to take these Jews, which were totally starved, and they made a game. They threw a little piece of bread, put a piece of bread, and about this starving Jews start fighting with a piece of bread, and they found the piles of bones. They killed each other. The piece of bread, they were so fighting over this piece of bread, they all died, one of each other. They found nothing more than a pile of cups. Now, who did it? Who was jumping after the bread? Only, mostly, non-religious people who had no reliance on Kodesh Baruch Hu. At the same time, the religious people dedicated their life to Kodesh Baruch Hu. They didn't jump. Not only they didn't jump, they could take that little piece of bread which they somehow got and share it with somebody. Now, where is the human koyach to do it? You could say, okay, you could focus, you could think, then you could give away something. Today, somebody stingy, somebody gives away. But there is a man who is not a man, he becomes an animal. Those other people knew this is the death, they're going to die, they couldn't care, they couldn't resist. It's just like a little poodle, a little thing, and jump food. He's jumping, no matter what, he jumps into the fire. Because the minute when you're not batech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're batech and you, so now you're a human being, soon you're going to be an animal. A little breath just undoes you. But somebody's batech b'shem, you become godly. And there's no condition in the world who could take it away from you. In the contrary. And that shows just the batech b'shem. Batech b'shem, he has it, no matter under what condition is a batech b'shem. And it says, Dorish Hashem, there's not missing the whole time. And you could have, and in this, under this circumstance, when other people killed themselves for a piece of bread, this Bater Hashem shared his last piece of bread, gave away his piece of bread, and not only that, this is even not such a big thing to share the bread, I would say, but he shared a smile, he blew in a little spirit of life. There was always enthusiasm, there was optimism. You have Hashem with you, he's not afraid of dying. And he's appreciating living, and he says, to live under this condition, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, this Bater Hashem, you could never win, you could never break the spirit of a Bater Hashem. Because this alchemist, as he said, the alchemist needs conditions in order to build his tricks. But the Bater Hashem has it, and no Hitler could ever break the spirit of this. Homer says, Yeru is Hashem Kedoshav. See, Hashem, there's no lacking. They never lack. The friends of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lai Hashem, they never have any kind of a machzor, never have any kind of lacking. Vasheni. And the second advantage over the Batech, over the alchemist, is Kabbalah Kamiya. This alchemist, Tzorech L'Masim Al-Lochas, he has to do it. Lishon L'Chefetz Zilos. If he's not going to, let's say, even after he has these conditions, which he has, but then he has to work, he has to do it. V'Efshe Shem Yisir Reicham. Rashanam, it could be that while he's doing it, by an accident, he's going to be killed. the smell, the things they do. He must smother Savoyri because he continues to work in the laboratory. What he's doing, Boyrich Agibem, Laila Vyam, he has to work day and night. It's gonna be killed on it. However, Babater Vakel, but the one who works on Hashem, the Bitcho is fully confident in Abgoim. He's not afraid of anything could happen to him. The Liba Batiach Mimtsoyaros, his heart is fully confident and nothing bad will, no tragedy, no accident will happen. Anything which will come from Hashem will be for him for his sosan simcha. In other words, he's not boteach that he knows nothing will happen which he doesn't want to happen. No. He has no control what's going to happen. However, what's going to give him the simcha? No matter what is happening, he's accepting the sosan simcha. Because everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's nothing good. The tarpoi boil of the menucha. And his panosa comes to him with vinucha, with pisunet, v'hashkin v'shal, with relayin. K'ma shekosah, the posse says, b'noiz deshe ar b'tzenim. He will lay me on the pasture field, ar mei minucha saleni. On the waters of peace, he's going to lead my life. In other words, we live in this nervous, meshugana world, and you could only find something, forget what you want. No, but Baal Batech is, you could have the most meshugana time, the most vibrant time. But Adme Menucha, because Baruch Hu still leads you and pastures you and feeds you on the waters of tranquility. His tranquility. You see, the whole world goes bananas, the whole world is uptight, nervous, meshuggah, and you have tranquility. In other words, not the condition makes you nervous, and not nervous. The inner peace is Batech Hashem. Hashlishi, and the third advantage of the alchemist, of the Batech over the alchemist. Kebala Kemet, this alchemist, Eina Mamin Al Soida Zilosai. He's never going to trust his secret to somebody else. Not suppose he has to say. Obviously, he speaks in a style the Bachor says that really this alchemist really existed. I don't know if you met him because he says, but at least that was the ongoing story. There's such a thing. So obviously, this man. Suppose he has the patent how to turn garbage into gold. Will he pass the secret to somebody else? No way. Because if you pass the secret to somebody else, the more other people will do it, gold loses its value. He's always afraid, okay, I got it today. Okay, the stockbroker, he got a tip. But he can't pass the tip because everyone passes the tip, he loses his value. There's no more a tip. He has to be the smart one. So he's always afraid nobody should take it. Mirosa Nash is afraid of himself. However, Beter Balakim, you found the patent how to get tranquility, relying on Hashem. You're not afraid to share this secret. Contrary, you share it with Torah, you blow it into Torah. It's contagious. It's contagious. If you b'teach b'Hashem, you make somebody else b'teach b'Hashem. It's one of the most beautiful experiences, you know, when you work with a group of people in business, you know, work on buying and selling, some lawyers, no matter what it is. And one of them is real b'teach b'Hashem. You see, people look like it's contagious, like I. Again, I must have personal experience. I remember it was, I was involved once months in a very big deal. And the Shkocha was a big deal I was involved in the negotiation of purchasing that big deal. I was in the buying side, I was on the selling side, was the day after Yom Kippur. And then I was there reluctantly, the broker pulled you down. Day after Yom Kippur, you have to pay for sukkah, suez type of business. But you did it you're there. And it was a lot of negotiation going on. You know, in negotiation, you have a scream and you prove it. That's the way it goes. You take some. So the seller was an elderly man, and one of the guys, the brokers, took him out from the other room to talk to him. You know, I put in certain conditions. If not, forget it. You know, and while he went out, another broker, a Jewish fella, we left him. We started schmoozing. You know, just talking. You know, why did I have to keep it? And by the way, they on the table. There was a blood pressure tester. This guy had it for some reason. I don't know why. So I said, gee, you get something free. You take advantage. You get something free. So I said, listen, you have blood pressure. How about... So now he tells me, Emil, let me test your blood pressure. I said, why not? You get it free, why not? And he tests my blood pressure. It was right a few minutes after when the other guys went out. And he starts telling me, Emil, you are a liar. You damn actor. You have a blood pressure like a little baby. Like, you're middle of life in such a big negotiation. The shkocha was, I would never think of it in a real estate firm. Middle of a big negotiation, he takes my blood pressure. It says your blood pressure like a little baby, like nothing, like you're entertaining yourself. And you're showing such a big act. Thank you for the compliment. So maybe today after Yom Kippur, you don't worry, you don't think about it. So all this negotiation is just like you drive a car. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. You know, you're nothing to man.
I told him that.
So what is a Jew? Okay, you have to worry. You've got to take away. It belongs to me. You could stand on his head. I'm going to get it. If it doesn't belong to me, I could stand on my head. I'm not going to get it. No point. You have to do your share, just like the carpet, you know, it's the nail in the nail. It's the hammer, it's tail. So it makes noise what his blood pressure is going up because of that. This is a normal thing. Same thing as in business. No matter, you could shove millions, you could be involved, you could be between life and death. But you know that you're totally ineffective. Totally non-effective at all. Everything is Hashem. He's the only effective force. And nothing, you're not a contributor to bit. And you're not worried about the outcome no matter what. Will it be? Will not be? Couldn't care less, because you know what it has to be is going to be, and it's whatever it's going to be is Hashem's doing. Your blood pressure never should change. You could make it, you have to show up and act, because it's a part of Ishtablus. The time when you sing, you speak, you yell, if it goes like it. But no, the blood pressure shouldn't change. That's a batea. Now this alchemist, also he makes some garbage gold. But his blood pressure changes. If somebody catches the secret of it, he's finished. His whole career is gone. But if somebody's Batei Hashem, nobody could take away your career.
After he finished the blood pressure,
he
tried to kill him.
What?
After
he finished. I didn't have the film with me. However, Batei Balakim, the one who is relying on Hashem, and then Yoram Mishum Adam is not afraid from no person, Bebit Chayna, because of his reliance. Avalu Mispoir boy, he is, I would say Mispoir.
Gloria?
Now, here is a very important part. Why do you see some people being held by doctors, some people are not being held by doctors? The same doctor, you're allowed to be Mispoir, you're allowed to show up, it's why Hashem is behind you. That you should say, it's a Kiddush Hashem, it's a teaching to the others. Now, usually, you're not supposed to show your madregas. Madrega, not supposed to, if you reach a certain level, a certain area, you're not supposed to show between madregas. But bitochen is not a madrega. Bitochen is reality, unfortunately. We don't try, we consider bitochen a madrega. It's a very unfortunate thing. Bitochen is a reality, and people live a false life. People live against reality. So if a person is admitting the reality is about madrega. And if a person doesn't leave Bitochen, he's a bluffer, he's a fool, he's an actor. So when a person publicly says, I'm about Bitochen, I'm not afraid of anything, and he's calm, he's thinking, he's not showing up. He says, we mispoil, but I will whom is spoiled by. He's actually expressing it, advertising it. He always announced it. I rely on Hashem, lo ira, therefore I'm not afraid. Ma also adamli. What could a person ever do for me? A person could never affect me. And this is something which has to be advertised. This is not a madrega. Look how much he's boasting about himself. Look what kind of Baal Batech it is. Because about reality, there's nothing what to. The fact that other people don't live this reality, do live the reality, that's not a miler. Unfortunately, other people are blind. They don't want to admit the truth. But if you claim the truth, and it says the truth of the matter, we are all really only Elohim B'tachtas Dovitz. We only really could rely on Hashem. There's no other reliance to begin with. The fact people hold on to something which is nothing. In Hungarian, there's expression, you have to catch it strong, hold it strong, hold this nothing strong. Hold it down strong, but this is nothing. It's nothing there. That's what people do today. They hold their life, they hold on to things, which is really empty, nothing, there's no value. Because Baruch Hu helped you, that you open it. Not to help you, because this is your fear. It's not, Hashem helps everyone. Hashem is available for everyone. To open up your eyes and to realize the truth and live the truth, this is a commitment, this is a commandment, and this is a requirement. And no thanks is coming to you if you live the truth, if you're Baal Batech. This is an absolute obligation to live the truth and not to leave a checker. Don't try to bluff you. The whole world, unfortunately, are blind and bluffing, and everyone is bluffing the other and confusing the other. As you see, you would get into a group of blind people, and you happen to be fortunate you could see, and tell the blind people, please don't go there and show you this, and you try to help everyone. So people say, listen, how's boosting? Look how much he's showing up that he could see. That's not because Baruch Hashem, you could see. The Batei Baruch Hashem could see. So after all, you have to thank Hashem. You have to fully utilize this gift with Hashem that opened up your eyes, that you do see the truth. I that has to be advertised. We spoil them. Because how do you make the other person, which is still blind, and how to show him that you are blind? When you see you as a role model, the way you live, that nothing makes you nervous, your blood pressure doesn't change. Nothing could. You have a tranquility. On the water of tranquility is guiding me. Only Hashem could lead your life and pass you on the water of tranquility. And that's the absolute necessity that we should be tranquil. Because without tranquility, you can't daven the way you should, you can't work the way you should, you can't learn the way you should, you can't behave to other person. You're always intimidated, you're always afraid, of this. The whole world is out to get you. That's usually what people think. But the more you rely on Hashem, says nobody could get you, even they want to get you. You could chase me, but you can't get anything. If you know that Hashem is behind you, that's the maximum of tranquility. Yeah. Okay, we're continuing further. Daf Reishvov. Middle of enumerating 10 reasons why the Boter Vashem, for 10 reasons, is more advantageous over the alchemist. But we're holding by the fourth reason. Kibala Kemir, this alchemist in an imlot, Mehasmi Mazova Kesef Harbor Eis Sarkoi. This alchemist could be in one of the two positions. He must either isn't successful in accumulating gold and silver a lot, you know, he should have an every needs it. If he's successful, he has to always to gather them and to get them. Oi. Or he's not going to accumulate, he's not going to have inventory of it. Only as he needs it for a very short time. The alchemist, since he has to produce his merchandise, his gold and silver, either he has a lot, either he has barely what he needs. In either way, it's not as good. But why? If he has a harve, surely he has a lot. He's always going to be afraid. You shouldn't lose it. Like a person sits on a pile, imagine a person has a ton of gold. Good morning. Has to watch over the ton of the gold. A man has to continuously to watch that he shouldn't be robbed. Imagine the inventory which you have to watch that you shouldn't be. So if he has a lot, he's afraid that he shouldn't be robbed. It's never going to have a tranquil life. It's never going to be at peace. It's never going to be able to lay off and not be afraid of the melech. From the people, they shouldn't steal him, or the king shouldn't tax him. You can imagine that the king knows, the government knows that he has so much wealth, so they will tax him. If he wouldn't have so much accumulated, he only is going to have little by little. He's going to produce the gold as he needs it. Only to fulfill his needs, mamur, for a little time. Asher, then, is the other worry. It's impossible. She bought some money on myself. Once he's not going to be able to produce it, based on tzedek ha'god when he needs it, he's not going to have it. Either mit namon esibus and sibois and memena. Because he hasn't got the reasons, he hasn't got the chance to make it. So, the alchemist, also, he has an advantage. He could, anytime when he wants, he could produce this gold, but his inventory position will always worry him. Will he have a lot of inventory? He's worried that he shouldn't be robbed, he shouldn't be taxed. Will he have a little? So all of a sudden he will need, and at that time, for some reason, he's not going to be able to produce, he's always going to be short of merchandise. So the alchemist, so why does he use the alchemist as an example? Because the alchemist is the one who any time could produce it from any kind of merchandise. But again, the supply and demand factor keeps him worried. However, that Reishvov. However, Abatei Avelokim, the one he relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bitchoino Chozok Belohav. His reliance is strong in Hashem, Shiyatrif Oiso is going to feed him, Kiritzoinoi, as he wants it. Be'eshi Yirtze B'mokom Shitz, at a time when he wants it, and the place where he wants it. Kasher Yitraif HaIbor, Berechem Imoi, Yatrif HaIbor, Berechem Imoi, just like as the fetus is being taken care in the womb of a mother, where Froyach, And also the little chicken betocha beitzah, when she's still in the egg shell, not opened. There's no opening to get to it. You can't take care of the chicken when it's still in the enclosed shell. Or you can't feed and take care on the fetus when she's still enclosed in the mother's womb. You can't enter from the outside. Or the birds, which is in air, is being provided. Or the fish in the water. And the smallest ant. Smaller means ant. Ant. Im chilishus with all his weakness. The botzer ateret mari. And sometimes going to be missing the food for the lion. Im tatfobik tosel. Alt is very strong. The lion is very strong. What good is his strength when he's in a forest? There's no animals. There's nobody who to take apart. Moshe kosel. The posak firim roshu v'reivu. Strong, powerful things became poor, and they hunger. B'darsh Hashem, however, those who go and search HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they actually call toiv. Never going to miss anything good. They always have what they need. B'mariyari v'Hashem nefesh tzadik, because Baruch Hu will never starve the nefesh, the soul of a tzadik of a tzadik. B'mari says, Nari is v'gam zakanti. I was young and I became old. Means I have a lot of experience of life. I was young, means at the early stage of my life, at a time when I encountered the world in a very childish way. I came to the country and I became old, not necessarily an age, became experienced. And I saw the world in experience. And I interpreted the world from the realism what I saw, not the way I interpret. In Veloyri Isi, and I had never seen and never encountered tzaddik, a real righteous man, Nezov, being abandoned, the Zaro and their children, Mavakesh Lochem, they asked for bread. And this is because the tzaddik is the real Beteach Hashem. So in other words, he says, this alchemist, also he could produce the merchandise, but he always going to be in a matzav, doesn't have a lot of merchandise, he's worrying about all the supplies, shouldn't be rent, shouldn't be tax. Has he not enough merchandise on hand, and he's worried that all of a sudden he needs it, and for that moment he can't produce it so fast. So he's always going to be in a matzav of uneasiness. Mashkin Beteach Hashem, he realizes Hashem is supplying, as you say, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him the panosa, Ein Hashem l'chol koir, in Ashrei, no, not in l'chol koir, no, this is other pasuk. Ein l'chol chai, losem ochlam be'itoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the food for the man be'itoi in his time, his place and his time. In other words, Beteach Hashem is so balancing the supply to the man in the right time, in the right place, in the right situation. Just like the fetus is being fed from the mother, from the inside, which is so well balanced temperature-wise, quantity-wise, quality-wise, exactly with the fetus needs, so are we in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not only Hashem's supply, the alchemist also has supply, but the quantity and quality and time, he has to adjust. But we been taken care of by Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we never even tzaddik nezav, you don't never see a righteous man even abandoned. There's no such not abandoned in a certain area, not abandoned in any area, not only quantity wise but also in quality wise, location wise. Chamishi.
This must also be speaking about on a higher level, like you were talking about in the concentration camp, the people, they didn't get the food, but they still had.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't mean necessarily. Because obviously, see two people not having things.
Yeah.
As you bring out in the book, Reb Zisha, okay, it was the example of not having anything, and he had everything. Not having anything, and he had everything. It's not necessarily technically. He's still Beteach Hashem is the fulfillment. Telish is the fulfillment. You see, a man is lacking something, he's hungry, he needs something. So, what do? You want to fulfill that lackingness. So, you're hungry, you want to fill the stomach. You need money, you want to fill in the bank accounts. When you have bitochen, bitochen is called fulfillment. You're fulfilled. This Lord Isi Tzadik Nezav. You didn't say a Tzadik abandonment. He's not lacking anything. Shem Roi, Hashem is my shepherd. Loi Echsor. I'm not lacking anything. I don't want anything. I have everything. This, by the way, that's the proper interpretation of Bitochen. Bitochen doesn't mean I'm sure Hashem will give you what I need, because then you don't start to become a Bitoch. If I need money and I do need money, however, I'm sleeping well because I'm sure Hashem is going to give me the money. So you remain what you want, you remain what you lack, you remain what you desire, however, an optimist. This is also a very low level of Bitochen, and it's good to have this too, because it's also something which you have to work on, but it's not the real Bitochen. Bitochen is nishpshat, interpret Bitochen. I'm relying on Hashem is fulfilling my lack, because you remain with your lack. The Bitochen is only a means, a tool, how to fulfill your lack. This is another pasuk where it says, Lo isi tzadik in Ezra, I didn't see a tzadik abandoned. Bitochen means that the Bitochen himself is eliminating the lack, is eliminating the desire. A person, I need money. So I would ask him, how do you know that you need money? Who says you need money? Who says you need money? Who says? You say it's needing money. The Baal Bateach doesn't say he needs money. He doesn't say he needs money. The Baal Bateach says, whatever I need, I have. Whatever Hashem does me, this is good for me. So I'm not abandoned. So the tzaddik, when he doesn't have the money, is just as fulfilled and just as feeling secured and being taken care of by Hashem than the other person does have money. The best proof, this alchemist has the opportunity to produce money, and does he produce the money? Did he produce gold? Does he have a big inventory? He's worrying. So you see that the fact that he fulfilled himself and excessively fulfilled himself, he still remained lacking. He still hasn't got peace. Doesn't he have? Then he needs the money because he doesn't have. Then he's nervous, will I be able to produce it? But Beter Bashem doesn't begin to lack anything, doesn't begin to need anything, because he knows I'm like a fetus in my mother's womb. The fetus knows it's lacking anything. And by the way, why is he using the word fetus? And why is he using the word of? He's using the chicken in the eggshell. Says because there's no access from the outside. You could only be fed from the inside. The person has no bitochen. He needs to be filled from the outside. I need money. I need help. I need the doctor. Come help me. Help me. The Bateach is being helped from the inside. I have Hashem in me, so therefore I'm not lacking anything. Hashem roi, therefore lo yechsa. Not because you're going to fulfill me. Yes?
The Shlomo Melech, King David says, lo ra'isi tzadik ne'ezav. Now, how does he know that the tzadik is not ne'ezav? Is it because his children are not mubak v'shalachem? How does he know? What does he see? The lo ra'isi. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a testimony, lo ra'isi tzadik ne'ezav, that the tzadik never gave up on me, so I understand. But if King Shlomo
says... Okay, how David HaMelech said it?
I'm saying it's like a visual testimony. I never saw him, that he was missing.
You never saw it either. If you look, when he says Nari Isi Gamsa Kamtli, and I interpreted it, what is the emphasis? Nari Isi was young, when Gamsa Kamtli became old, in all my history, and all my experience, Lori Isi Tzadik Nezav, I didn't see abandoned Tzadik.
That's an
abandoned Tzadik. I never saw an abandoned Tzadik. A Tzadik which is abandoned. Abandoned by whom? Abandoned by Hashem. So, you raise the question, how does he know? How does he say it? So that's the reason, because he said Nar Isi, I was young and old, means I had old experiences in my life. Nar means I was young, means I researched through intelligence to encountering the world in a childhood form, like on your own, you know. But Gamsa Kamtli became old, so you have a lot of experience. And David HaMelech obviously was the king, was the heart of the Am Yisrael, and he was sitting and he knew what is a Melech Yisrael, what is a king of Israel. He knew exactly what's going on. And he says, I never saw Tzadik Nezav. In other words, you see, the right word of Bitochen is that not that you have a lack, but you Bateach, you rely on Hashem that is going to fill it. Rather, Bitochen is eliminate that you have no lack. There's no demands. You have no demands whatsoever. You're in Hashem's arm, and you know Hashem supplies you whatever you need, and whatever you have, that's good. Now, that's the real pshat of the Torah. Then comes on the question, so what do you have to do ishtalos, and what are you praying for? That's the delicate point. What are you praying? What are you asking them? What are you doing? So, I think I will explain it again, because it's something which is always bothering. This is the high level of... There's such a thing in this world which is called norma. the norm. Tzaddikos norm. Now, in this world's norm, when a person lacks money, he's lacking money, he knows he has to look for it because he has to pay his mortgage. Now, when you see here a man who is an absolute boteach, he never lacks that money. So we'll come. If there wouldn't be a norm, it's just like let's take appetite. A man must eat. If he doesn't eat, he dies. Then there's such a thing which is called an appetite. If you're hungry, you eat. If you're not hungry, you have no appetite, you don't eat. Now, what is the appetite? Is appetite connected to eating? Really, it's not connected. It's a tool to know when to eat and when not to eat. Now, if a person has no appetite whatsoever, it's dangerous. He could die. He will not eat. Because he lost the tool. And I would say this could be the danger. If somebody is absolute real boteach b'shem, like he lost all the sensitivity, all appetite, all needs, and then he's not going to do what he has to do in this world. Just like the man has to eat. And why does the man have to eat? Because Hashem wants him to eat. Hashem wants this food to be consumed by him. Because through that he's connected to the world. He's elevating everything. The Kodesh Baruch Hu makes brachos and benching and using and utilizing. So even the tzaddik, Lo Yisi Tzaddik Nezach, I never saw a tzaddik which is abandoned. That means he doesn't need anything. It's good for him. That's where it is. But if he's such a big boteach, like he lost all the appetite, lost all his contact to this world, but he has to use the norma from the outside to know what he has to do. Not because it affects him inwardly, personally, but just as the Chazanish used to say, he never lacked food. Like, he was so immersed, always in learning, that the appetite never was felt in him. He said, he never lacked food. He says, when they bring me food, I realize I have to eat. When they bring me food, I realize I have to eat. So obviously for him, eating, now, he was a typical Lo Yisi Tzaddik Nezach, a man who was never abandoned. He never lacked food. But still he knew when he bring him food, he knew that you have to eat. Just like you know you have to eat when you're hungry. For him, the norma, the fact that it was feeding time, noon time, they brought him, the rabbits brought him food, was like you, feeling hunger. Chilik was, he never felt the hunger, never felt the lacking, so he knew it from outside. So is also the norma of the world is his indicator, his indication, his desire doesn't come within in. Within in doesn't matter. No, in actually, this is pshat in the Mishnah. You have to make a bracha on bad things as you make bracha on good things. And good things you make tzaddik meitiv, and bad things you make borech dayan emes. Now here is a tzaddik, for him nothing is bad. What will be for tzaddik which is absolute this level? This is a column in the book. I take in the Sankara position. The position is the tzaddik which never knew bad, never experienced bad. And that's what he said. I don't know what bad means. Now, Chas v'Shalom, he lost money. Chas v'Shalom, a child died for him. He would say, Tov v'Meitiv, I'm thanking Hashem good. It would be a bracha l'batala. But how does he know when to make Tov v'Meitiv in Dayan Emes? When the people, the norma of the world, considers it. For him, for this Lo Yisi Tzaddik Nezach, the big Baal Batel, the person who never lacks anything, everything for him is good. For him, the norma of the outside is the indicator what bracha to make. When the world is happy with something, he has to make Tov v'Meitiv. When the world is unhappy with something, he has to make Dayan Emes. But for him, it's the same thing if we could make both of them the same simcha. As I would say, on a banana you make Boire Pri Adoma, on an apple you make Boire Pri Oetz. Is him a difference of what he makes a bracha, how he makes the bracha? He makes the same happiness as the Boire Pri Adoma that makes Boire Pri Oetz. But the indication is, on bananas, Adoma, suppose he's blind, he doesn't know. Suppose there's a fruit, he doesn't know what is it. Adoma to buy the plate. He says, hey, you know, tell me, is this Adoma? And you tell me. And you know what it is. You telling me, I'm going to make the same broch. It's a chilik for what broch I make. Bring me the kiwis. How do you call it? The fruit, the kiwi. I don't know what it is. Adoma to eat. Every time I'm being told, for the next time I forget already. I think it's eight, what? Yeah, the kiwi. So because I don't know what it is, my relationship to this kiwi, that's the way it should be to anything, the tzaddik. The tzaddik is not everything. I want to eat a kiwi. I have to eat a kiwi. For anyway, I want to eat it. But it's for me a difference if I'm going to make a doma on it or make an eitz on it. It's a technicality. I happen to lack the knowledge of this technicality. You happen to have it. That exactly is the boteach b'shem. The one who's fully boteach b'shem, for him is no different in what matzav he is. Is he poor? Is he rich? Does he have money? Is he healthy? It's absolutely no different. It's for us, it's very hard to visualize such a betochen. You absolutely couldn't care less than what matzav you are in this moment. because you're such a Bateach Hashem, because you know you like the features in the mother's womb, like a chicken in the egg. Kodesh Baruch Hu supplying you what anything which is the best for yourself. Maybe to bring it a little bit closer to our imagination, if such a thing is possible, and I would say such a thing is possible. Suppose you need something, you want something very much, and I'm giving it to you. You catch the next bus to New York City, and you're going to get there, and you're going to get at 8:30, and you're going to get $10 million, and you're going to get married, and you're going to have a dozen of the most beautiful children in the world. Whatever. Take the best thing what you could imagine what you want. You got a bracha of Yitzchak Avinu. We're going to grab away the bracha of Esav. You just have to catch the bus and make the 7 o'clock bus, and 8:30 you're getting the bracha of Yitzchak Avinu. Both towards Adam and Adam Abba. Okay? Now, you finally catch the bus. Does it matter that I window by the seat or by the aisle, or do I stand, or somebody stands on my foot, or somebody sits on my head? Does it matter? Doesn't matter at all, as long as I got the bus. Only thing which matters will I get there in time. That's all. But the condition of the ride, does it matter? Now, if it matters, it only proves that you don't know what you're going for. You don't know what to appreciate, why you're rushing. That's all. If it matters, if you complain about the ride, it's only because you don't know why you're going for. Our 78 years of life is shorter than the 1 hour bus ride to New York. It's shorter. Because our ride is towards eternity. We have nothing but to explain. We're going for a bracha. We're going for whatever we expect. We have no imagination in this world, as the mission says. Yofel shoachos sukayi resurach boilem abo mikol chay oilem azeh. 1 second of pleasure in oilem abo, which we are destined for, the Boteach Hashem is destined. 1 second of pleasure is greater than all the enjoyment of this world. And it's being explained. If you collect all the enjoyments of this world ever experienced by all mankind from the beginning of creation till today, so imagine, take 5,750 years of production of enjoyment by all mankind together, and you give it to one person, that cannot be compared to 1 second of an experience of Chaya Olam Haba, of the world to come. And this is what we're grinding to. We are here on the bus ride to get that 1 second, but you're not going to get 1 second of it, you're going to get it for eternity. And for eternity means, not you only get it for eternity that second, but whatever that first second is, which we said, that all the enjoyments of all mankind together, accumulated, doesn't come close to that 1 second. And this is the first encounterment of Chai Olam Abo. And the next second, that first experience, doubles up unlimited, and next second doubles further and further, grows forever. There where we are heading. So we are, yes, we have an 80-year bus ride, but how could it matter, the bus ride, under what condition you're riding, where you know where you're heading? This is the Bateach Hashem. Lo yisi tzadik nezer, I never saw a tzadik who is abandoned. Because the minute you find yourself on the bus and you're your destiny while you're on the bus, you're not abandoned while you're on the bus. The fact you're riding to your destiny, that's the greatest accomplishment. How can you complain about anything as far as... This is the Bateach Hashem. That comes after really... That's what the Rebbe Zisha said. How could I... I don't even know what Toivira... I don't know what is good and bad. He's living with his future. He's living with his destiny, where he's heading. For him, there's no such thing as Ra. There's no... But you still live for 70, 80 years. Hashem still wants you to function. So when you're hungry, you made your appetite. And it makes you that you live in a house that you have to pay a mortgage. If not, you lose your house. So Kodesh Baruch Hu had built in a certain mechanism in order to know that you have to do so. You have certain duties to do while you're on the bus. You have to daven, you have to ask, you have to do this, you have to prepare food. All those things, the necessities. The necessity is not just to make you happy, to make you feel fulfilled. I'm fulfilled to begin with. Keep me not, do me nothing, I'm fulfilled. Because I'm living with my destiny, I'm not living with my presence. But Hashem wants you while in the bus, and you should function. You should do certain functions. So he built in the functions into the man to know what he needs. So he put in lackingness in the person. You need this, you need that, you need that, in order to the function according to what you need. But suppose you're so much overwhelmed with your future that you totally overlook your lackness, you don't even know, then you have to live by other people's indicator. So normality of the other people becomes you. So you have to daven, because Hashem, one of the requirements is you have to daven. You have to talk to Hashem, you have to ask Hashem things. What is Hashem? I don't need anything. I don't need, I'm so overwhelmed with my future, I don't just not need it, but still I'm interested to them. So what should I ask? So what should I ask? Ask that all the people need. The fact you don't need it, What is it? You're blind. So ask the people, why do you have to pray? Why do you ask? Oh, you have to ask for money. Okay, Hashem, give me money. You have to ask for this. But I could go by very well without money. So it comes up when you ask Hashem for money, ask Hashem for health, you ask Hashem for all these things. You're asking for the sake of asking. You're not asking for the sake of getting. Because it's immaterial if you get it or not in the end. You feel just as well if you got it, you didn't get it, because that's what you are. This is called Lo Yisitzad. That's a very high level of Bitochen. But this is the truth. If we can't reach this level of Bitochen, it's not because it's not possible for me to elevate myself to the level to not to be sensitive about the worldly needs. Not because of that. It's because we don't fully acknowledge and appreciate why we're destined to. We don't know the address where we're getting. We don't know. We don't know the bus. We don't realize the fact that we're on a bus ride, which is nothing more than a bus ride to get to our destiny. We don't. And if you talk about it, yes, we take it vaguely. We take it superficially. We acknowledge it, but we really don't live it. This is really the smart way of growing in life is to emphasize on the right point, to focus on the right points. Let's focus on our future. Let's live everything for the future. And the best thing would be, as the Mishnah says, just take simply, literally, the advice of Chazal, Shav Yom Echad Lifnei Misrach, do tshuva one day before you die. That you should literally consider yourself dying candidates every minute and every second of our life. We're dying candidates, that's all. It's a very good way of living. And Chazal doesn't depress, it's not to the point of depression. Imagine a person lives, I'm going to die, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. But if you live continuously like that, because this is my destiny actually. Our destiny is dying. It's passing over to Olam Haba. We are on the bus ride. Okay, hopefully we said normally it takes 89 years to get there, but some people get there much earlier. But when a person lives always with this, Rabbi Kiva, and he was tortured to death, the Talmidim asked, and he was tortured to death. They literally stripped his flesh from him. So what did he say? Call Yomai, all my life I was waiting, when will this moment come to me? Now, what does it mean? It's really the man. He said, everybody calls Shema, it was always Miachat to Kodesh Bochon, and Mekabal al Machu Shema, Shema Shema Ken Hashem Echad. What was this Kavon Hashem Echad? He always visualized that he's a big fire and he's being tortured to death for the Yechidus of HaKodesh Bochon, the oneness of HaKodesh Bochon. He lived it. So it means he lived in a life of dying. He continuously imagined, I'm dying, now is my last moment, I'm passing over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm willing to give up everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's not one thing I'm not giving up for the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when a person lives all his life like that, how could it be simultaneous when you live like that, needing this, needing that, and feeling a certain need, feeling a certain thing? How can you accomplishing it, as I say, you're getting $10 million, you're wearing a button that's missing on your suit. I mean, what's happening? Either you're crazy, either you don't appreciate $10 million. You're getting the dream of your life, but why are you getting your life? Someone takes off a button from you. You worry about the button, it annoys you. What are you talking to? You're doing the biggest thing. A chassid stands on the knee, the chuppah is mechavan, is marrying his wife, and then all of a sudden somebody steps on his toe, he's losing a button. So does he care about it? But that's the way a tzaddik lives all his life. There's nothing. The biggest thing is nothing more than a little button. Acknowledges. We have to acknowledge these little buttons in order to know what brachos to make, what tefillahs to make, what ishtadlus to put in. But it's not because this thing has to be fulfilled. This is the real b'tei av Hashem.
So the sharing level of a kadosh, where actually this becomes the top of the world. To use the world, is that a higher level?
I must correct you. This, what you're saying now, to become a Kodesh Mesilas Yisroel in the Madregas or Pichos Mayor, which the levels of Mesilas Yisroel is built on, Bitochen is a means to get to become a Kodesh. What does it mean? The Kodesh is not that he's going out to the world and getting worldly things in order to be Mekadoshet. When you are a Beteach, and you're indifferent to your condition of your life, you're totally indifferent if you're rich or poor, if you're healthy or sick, you're totally indifferent, because you know Hashem, whatever it is, that's good. What's happened if Hashem did give you money? What's happened if Hashem did give you many materialistic values? You use it as a Kodesh, just like you use it as a Kodesh, and just like there was a Rebbe Zisha, which is the ultimate poor person in any sense, and a painful person in any sense, there were the tzaddikim, they were the most wealthiest materialistic people, but they lived in the same way of Kedusha. Kodesh is how you utilize, Bitochen leads you to become a Kodesh. You could never become a Kodesh if you lack Bitochen. in order to be a Kodesh, now what does Mr. Lishim explain a Kodesh? That everything which you count in the world, you utilize it for Avodas Hashem. You eat with Kodesh, you make money with Kodesh, money, everything is Kodesh. Now, when can you become a Kodesh? When you have this betochen. Because then money for you is not a materialistic object. Money for you is a other thing, just like a tzaddik utilizes his life for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. For him, money and life is the same thing. Everything is a gift of Hashem. It's not my liking. This is what Chazal tells us. Tzaddikim chaviv elehem oinam yosef gufam. Tzaddikim, they love their money which Hashem gave them more than they love their body. Because the body has to be sacrificed for the order what Hashem ordered them to live. Now Hashem give me time, I have to give up my body for my time. Do I give up my body for my time? I have to utilize the time for the roads in Hashem. And if it needs sacrifice of body, of course we sacrifice. Kelecho harak v'kolayon. We die for you, Hashem, all day. We to capitalize and to utilize on the day, on the time that you give me, I'm killing my body for it. For the tzaddik, when he receives money, it's just like he receives time. Just like you got a day to live, if you got $1,000, you got $1,000. And you, the Kodesh, the holy person, is Mekadosh, is sanctifying this $1,000. And it sacrifices his body, his Metzias, in order to be Mekadosh, this $1,000. That's the Kodesh that Rishon Chazir speaks. But obviously, the ingredients to become that level of Kodesh, person must be a Boteach. If you have a Boteach, let's say the very low Madig, which unfortunately most of the people, as the Chazanish calls it, most of the people are tired. They're simply mistakes. They make a cardinal mistake in the definition of Bitochen. That Bitochen means optimism. I'm optimistic. I'm going to get what I want. So you remain with your wanting. It's not remaining waiting. You're not even starting to become a Boteach. It's a practical way of living. A Goy could also become a Baal Boteach like that. He's a natural optimist. He's optimistic. He's always happy. But a Jew could be born the most hardest core of a pessimist. He could be the strongest pessimist. But that doesn't come what you change your personality from optimist to pessimist. Nothing at all. But talk means facing reality. And facing reality means, are you on a bus ride and you're destined to the greatest fortune, or aren't you not? And the Boteach is, if you learn enough, you get convinced that you're on a bus ride, which your destiny is to the greatest fortune for life, then the Metzias of your bus ride becomes totally immaterial to what you are, where you are, right?
It seems in this approach that davening for the Tochen, acting for the Tochen, would be more appropriate than davening for dollar bills or health or anything like
that. I don't understand it at all. How can you daven for Bitochen? The Bitochen is not what you have to be davening. The Tochen, you have to be learning. And you have to be truthful. Yes, you could ask Adam, lighten my eyes in order to see the truth. The minute you see the truth, and you know the truth, you must be a Boteach. If not, you're a damn fool. You're a fool. What is it, davening for Bitochen? Asking something. Baruch Hashem gave me eyes and I could see. After davening, I should see you. After Hashem, open my eyes. But once you open my eyes, obviously I could see you. Because Baruch Hu gave us all the knowledge, gave us all the information, and gave us the intellect. We all have this. And Hashem wants you to learn it, to start it, and focus on the points that you have to focus on. Unfortunately, we don't focus there. So what if davening, Hashem says, I gave it to you. The typical Moshe of the Chofetz Chaim, that we always ask Hashem, Pesecha Sedecha, open up your hand, must be al-chol charos, the needs from every person. And it says, obviously, as the Lord is to tell Knesset, Zarev HaKashlochem, so the person gives Rebbe, I'm always asking, always begging Hashem, and He doesn't give me. It doesn't give me. What is it? You guarantee me Hashem will give me? So he gave me the muscle that a poor man needed a loan, needed money to marry off his daughter. It was a very desperate situation. So in the shul, he meets his friend, his neighbor in shul, a rich man. So he's begging, he's crying his heart off for him. He says, you know what? After davening, come over. I'll take care of you. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. He never comes. The next morning, he finds him again in shul. He says, starts again begging, nagging him. He says, come over, I waited for you yesterday. Oh yes, okay, I'm going to come. He never comes. The next day again. And he repeats himself hundreds of times. Every day he finds him, he shoots, begs him. And he says, come, my door is open for you. But he never comes. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. That's what we are being compared. We come to shul, we ask for Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem give me, and take care of me. And Hashem says, okay, come. Come, but we don't come. Now, what does mean come? Where should we come? Understand that Hashem takes care of you. Bitochen is not something which we have to pray for. Bitochen we have to work for. Hashem gives us all the tools. We have to ask Hashem, give me the tools to get to Bitochen. But we have, Baruch Hashem, Could anyone dispute what we're talking now? I'm asking a very simple question. Could anyone dispute facts? Is any person capable of taking care of himself? No way. We know we can't take care of ourselves. Aren't we actually in the same situation as the fetus in a mother's womb? The same way. Isn't the fetus being taken care by all supplies by a mother? It's a fact. Is there any excess from the outside? No. Could the chicken in the shell of the egg, which is not opened up, isn't she developed from the inside? Could anyone influence, do something from the outside? Nothing. We are like that. We are in Hashem, and we've been incubated in Hashem, we've been taken care by Hashem. No outside factor could have any influence in health. That's a fact. We all realize that. But what do? We want to dictate to Hashem, we want to be taken care, we want to be taken care. This is, again, we don't live the truth. We don't live up to our own standards of it. That's even worse. It's not something that we don't know. We know it, and we will admit it, and we will tell somebody else, but at the same time, when you have a problem, you know, you have to take care, and you're devastated if you couldn't be taken care the way you wanted. How do you know what to want? Don't you know Hashem knows what you want? That's realistically living the absolute truth. That's bitoch. We ignore the absolute truth, and therefore there's no excuse to anyone. I would say there's no excuse to anyone. Just like you have to have I'm asking you something. There's a mitzvah to believe in Hashem. Could anyone justify? I'm sorry, what should I do if I don't believe? Is it an excuse? I ask you. Is it an excuse to say, what should I don't believe? What should I do? There's no excuse. Because there's no reason why not to believe. Just open up your eyes, you have to believe. The mitzvah to know Hashem. What should I do? What should I know? I didn't see him. I didn't know him. There's no such a thing. You could know him. There's enough in this world information that you could do it. You could reach knowing Hashem. Seeing Hashgachot Pratis, and seeing its use, Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yam Suf, and miracles. You have miracles in your own life. We spoke many times. So there's no excuse. You say, what should I do if I don't believe? There's no excuse. What should I do if I don't know him? There's no excuse. What should I do if I don't rely? I've never been talking, what should I do? I'm a pessimist. I'm worrying. I'm a worrying person. You were born a natural optimist, so you don't worry. No. Bitochen has nothing to do with pessimism or optimism. Nothing to do with it. Bitochen facing reality, facing the truth, and live the truth. Just live the truth. There's nothing but to worry. That's all. How do you get there? By simply knowing your destiny. You know you're in a bus ride of 80, 90 years. And your destiny is your reason why you're on there. And the more you realize what the destiny is, that you're countering, you're accomplishing the biggest mission in life, by getting there, then you couldn't care less about what size is. Yes?
How do you control your physical reactions, which the anxiety comes through physically, even though you might have the problem? You can't bring the two together.
Oh, it's absolutely wrong. Totally wrong.
Nervous feelings, cold sweats, whatever, they come. Even though I want to hope everything will come together, how do you bring the two together?
Let me tell you, where does the physical anxiety come from?
Lack.
Again, from lack of bitoch. That's it.
But that's a very long way to go to get to a point.
So that's what we're talking about. That bitoch is not to condition your body. It's not you're going to take care of your body, talk to him, you know. No. Bitochen is learning, realizing the truth, and knowing the truth. The more you're focusing on the truth and truth, the body is taking care, you're getting tranquility. He said exactly, you feel secure, like you feel that you're being in a mother's arm. The minute when there is physical anxiety, is already proof that you have no bitochen. Physical anxiety and sweat and worry is a symptom of lack of bitochen. A person who really has bitochen, there's no, the word in anxiety just doesn't exist. You have to know even more than this. The real boitchem b'Hashem, they never lost their head for a moment. They never lost their... I tell you a personal story from my grandfather. I mean, I'm just giving you... But it shouldn't be interpreted wrong. Bear with me a minute longer, so I'm going to interpret him. He was a big elachayid. He had a factory of seltzer. Used to be Megal Yisoymer. He was arrested, matter of fact, once in Berlin, in Germany, because he went to Schnorr money to marry off a Yosef, and you know, we're not allowed to Schnorr money to in Germany, you know. And he was arrested. And he was a businessman. At the same time, he was a Marvitz Teure. He used to say shiurim every day for Bocher. There was no yeshiva, so he had a yeshiva of 70 Bocher. He used to say daily shiurim. My grandma used to. He was a big Oyved Hashem. And he died pretty young. He had a stroke, he died pretty young, and he became pretty old in the 50s. He became already white-bed. So once you talk to my father, he says, you know, you see my white beard, why I became white? You know why I became white? You see my white beard? Actually, a person should never become white unless nature brings white, because of wanting to become white, but they should never stay become white. Well, you see, Tzadik Nezo. So to become white naturally is one thing, but to become white because you worried, you shouldn't. So, you see this white beard, why I became white? Because 5 minutes in my life, I forgot it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that made me white. And the story was that I used to make some skimp and I used to produce seltzer. In order to reel money, to beat the competition, you have to cheat. Now, instead of putting in sugar, you have to put in saccharin, you know, sweetness, some artificial sweetness. And that was very outlawed. It was what that they used to do. So once the competition informed and they made search, they came. They all of a sudden fell on the house. They made a search about the saccharin, and they had it. And when they came searching, he lost. It came to him that there's a big search, and others could have been arrested, who knows what. And momentarily, when it says there was in the other village, there was this Pinker Rebbe. The Pinker Rebbe was not far away in the other place. So immediately sent off somebody to the Pinker Rebbe that he should pray. He sent off. He was in a desperate situation, and he sent off immediately to the Pinker Rebbe should pray. And they came to Pinker Rebbe. I am in a Hamelah Yiri. They have eyes they wouldn't see. There was a posting in Tinov. And after the search, they didn't find anything. They didn't find it. Fatih. But he said, years later, that 5 minutes, when I was in a desperate situation, is the first thing I went to send off to the Rebbe instead of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shem should have been first, and the Rebbe should become next. But for me, the first thing was the Rebbe. That 5 minutes made me white. That's what I'm saying. Don't be interpreted. We still have to go to Elohim. We have to go to Tzadikim for Brochas, but only after Hashem. Don't forget, you have a direct communication to Hashem. That's the first obligation. A person is Ba'ez Torah, you have a Torah. First thing is speak to Hashem. That's the requirement, that's the commitment. Talk to Hashem. Now you talk to Hashem, and then you see that you're now saying, Hashem, I need an extra one to be mispalah for me. So the tzaddik definitely could be mispalah better than I. So the tzaddik is really the outcome by recognizing your obligation. You do your obligation, what you have to do, to the maximum. And because you know what obligation to talk to be mispalah to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I deliver even more tefillah. I'm going to have the tzaddik also mispalah for one. Because we have to know, the tefillah is not a means. The tefillah is a goal. The tefillah is usually, the tefillah, the davening, is not a means to take care of my needs. The tefillah is the end in himself. The goal. Hashem wants tefillah. So how does Hashem get the tefillah? He develops a need in you. So you use the need as a means to be able to be mispalah. So the minute all of a sudden you said Torah, I said, now is the opportunity to be mispalah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one of, again, the sad things, you know, what's happening sometimes. A person is falling away. So a person faints away first. There's an accident. Now, if there's something to do physically to help the person, that's what you have to do. That's our first obligation. But there's nothing what to do. Instead of despairing, running like a chicken without a head, talk to Hashem to be mispalah, because there isn't a greater quality of tefillah when the Eis Tzora, when you really are in need, and then you talk to Hashem. This is like slingshot, right? A slingshot. What is a slingshot? The slingshot, if you want the stone to reach, you have to pull it. The further you pull it, and then you let go, it comes. We want our tefillahs to reach the Kisa covered, you have to be pull, stretch it out. And the stretching is Tzora. The more Tzora, more desperation I am, use this desperation to really put Hashem, I need you now, but it's Torah, and then it reaches. So what happens when all of a sudden a person says, well, I have no worry, I have a Rebbe. I just make a telephone call, he's a miracle man, he's going to take care. So you're using desperation, you're going to the Rebbe, and you missed you, Hashem wants you to fill it, because the Torah came to you. So the first thing, you have to be mispalah. Now, I did my max, I did all my tefillah. So Hashem, not only I'm delivering my tefillah, I bring you the best tzaddikim's tefillah. So I go to this Rebbe, to this tzaddik, to this tzaddik, and they should all be mispalah. Not only one Rebbe, all only one tzaddik. However, the person who doesn't believe in him says, what am I? Hashem is not even listening to me. So not even mispalah. I have a good lawyer taking care of me. I have a Rebbe. My Rebbe is taking care. Only him. He's not going to tell. He's not going to fight. Hashem wants your tefillah. You're a human being. You are over the Hashem. Where is your tefillah? So he said, that 5 minutes, because I sent to the Rebbe, I was in such a desperate situation, he was a real big man. And he said it, I have no ear, they have eyes, they're not going to see, and they didn't even see. But I forgot to be mispowered, I forgot to utilize, and I did tshuva in this 5 minutes all my life, that made me white. Because and human being is not a human being, but so why did he fail? The other should be able to realize after that. So the pshat is not to avoid. Somebody is a sick person, he has to go to a chochem, he has to go to a tzaddik, should pray for him. But this is only after you did what you have to. The Hashem wants you to feel it, and then you collect the others too.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@kol.com.